Is this thing on? Hello? Am I on radio? Oh, Grandpa. Come on, Grandpa. Did you forget your brain pills again? Yeah, I think I did. All right.
This is the Freedom Beans. Okay. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. The alter your locus solaris by warming your scene. I can't speak when you're making me laugh.
I have that effect on a lot of women.
Radio waves, yeah. It warms your brain to a tasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, y'all?
Ooh,
can you feel it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yep.
The freedom means
a lot.
Yeah. Go on.
More than usual.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
It's covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Don't tell me what to do.
There's a lot of squirm.
I know. This is a full squirm of worms. We got myself, Michael W. Dean, Jim Jesus. Say hi, Jim Jesus.
Hello.
We got Lisa Talasho. Say hi, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Hi, Lisa.
And I think Angela Keaton found the Quaaludes
she
had in her freezer in a little aluminum foil packet since 1978. Still got them there? You there, Angela?
Yes, I'm here, Michael. And I'm here, and I'm proud, and I'm out.
What are you proud about, and what is out? What are you waving at me? Put that thing away. You're Transylvanian, aren't you?
I have so much prepared for tonight.
Yeah, okay. Well, I got something good to say here. I'm going to start with this. Is Boston Tea Party, OG libertarian, original gangster, like, let's see, what was my lineage? What did I figure out? Okay.
Your 164th OG libertarian.
Hey, Steve Miller. Okay, so there was this lady named Claire Wolf way back in the day who still writes stuff. So Claire Wolf has been writing... the name of this episode is I Laughed at the Libertarian Party Before You Were Born. Because for most of our listeners, that's true. Because when I went to college, the first day when I was tripping at disorientation or orientation, and I got my student ID picture taken, looking like a hippie, long hair, little John Lennon gold glasses, just like melting, like the room was melting. It was full of strangers, and I was
did
like,
the campus
oh my God.
Fix whatever it was you tripped over?
Yeah, it did. And the Libertarian Party had a card table set up in the student union, and they know their demographic. Like if a guy walked by wearing a suit who looked interesting, they'd be like, "Excuse me, sir, are you interested in lower taxes?" But with me, they said, "Are you interested in legalizing marijuana?" And handed me a pamphlet. And I thought they reminded me of like Jesus freaks. And I was like, "No, man." Even though I wanted to legalize marijuana, I was like, "No, like you people scare me. Go away. You're too happy and pushy and like, no, I don't want to talk to you." And I walked away laughing, like, what idiots. And it was the Libertarian Party. It was the first time I heard the word libertarian, and it was like the last time I even considered libertarianism for about 10 or 15 years. So they blew it for me. So yes, I laughed at the Libertarian Party before most of our listeners were born. However,
libertarian party's an oxymoron.
Yes, we have. It's not a party. It's no fun. So we had. We have a more mature squirm of worms today. We don't have any of the whippersnappers like Nick. But Nick, see, we paved the way for people like Nick. We laughed at the Libertarian Party before he was born. All of us. So when he got around to like, you know, what do I want to be? I'm 14. I'm gonna decide a political stance. And you know, he didn't have to go through what we went through of even learning about the Libertarian Party and considering them and laughing at them. He just went straight to AnCapistan because he found the Freedom Fiends. So we built that. So Nick was 14 when we met him and put him on the show, and he's just turned 18. And Boston Tea Party. Okay, so original gangster Claire Wolf started writing books about 25 years ago about libertarianism. And they were like gun nutty, cool, prepper, but like fun books. So she inspired Boston Tea Party to write books. He wrote Boston's Gun Bible. He wrote You and the Police, which created the cop block movement. Like everything the cop blockers do, they got from that book. And he's written a bunch of books, including Moulin Labe, which is fiction that like created. It was around the time of when Free State Project was starting. He wrote this fiction book about people moving to Wyoming and changing the political specter of it. And like basically like, okay, spoiler alert, like the way Wyoming finally becomes free is by having a libertarian who works at the Air Force base in Cheyenne steal three nukes and hiding them in Washington, D.C. And then finally the federal government leaves Wyoming alone and it becomes LibPair. So Go ahead.
The great thing about Boston Tea Party is that he had a Facebook name before Facebook existed.
He did, and he had this name before the Tea Party thing existed.
Yeah,
like
exactly. You know, he probably wouldn't choose that today, I don't think.
No, he really wouldn't.
Yeah.
And no, actually he's writing under his real name now, Kenneth Royce, and he's written he's writing a really cool series. It's three books. Number two just came out, and it's called Modules for Manhood. And it's literally the book I wish I'd had when I was 15, 16, 17, 18. So when the first one came out, when Nick was 15, I read it. I sent it to Nick. He loved it. And he and I interviewed Boston Tea Party. Well, the second edition just came out. I read it, loved it. Sent it to Nick. I'm going to send it to Nick this week. Nick's going to read it. And Nick and I are going to interview Boston Tea Party again on the Freedom Fiends. So that's really cool. And that's going to happen. And so here's the lineage, though.
By the way, I have all these books ordered and I still haven't got them yet.
Oh, from who? From who?
Oh, my gosh. Joke.
What books? What?
It was a Ben Stone joke. Go ahead. Go on.
No, because I want to clarify that you're not talking about Boston Tea Party, because when you order books from him, he sends them promptly.
Oh, I'm sure he does, but I don't get them from USPS. Okay.
Ben Stone's book is so radical that it's like the post office is throwing it away when he sends it to people. Like literally, and I'm using that in the literal sense, not the way the kids use it. Literally, you know, like 5 or 10 people that I know of, like their copies have come open, including me. Their copies of Ben's book have come like open, soiled, ripped, or have never shown up, like with Jim. So Ben and I are both sending Ben's book to Jim this week. Hopefully one of them will get through to him. And if the other one doesn't, if he gets two, he can have one. He can start a lending library for his libertarian drinking club in Vegas. All right, so here's the lineage. So Claire Wolf, really cool lady, like wrote these books, and she's a fan of the Fiends, and I'm a fan of hers and a friend of hers. Boston Tea Party, fan, friend of the Fiends. So Claire influenced Boston to write books. Boston influenced Larkin Rose to write books. Larkin Rose influenced Chris Cantwell to write books. So can you see
who
that
was in
it's
Rounders
getting,
with Kevin it's, Bacon?
It's starting great, and it's getting worse as it goes. Oh, Bacon number. You're bringing up Bacon numbers. I actually realized my Bacon number is 2 because I did a movie that was narrated by Robert Downey Jr. And he was in He was in a movie. I actually have this in my show notes. Bacon number. Also, do you know about Erdos numbers? It's how closely related you are to the crazy speed freak dead mathematician Erdos. There's actually a thing called Erdos number. But the only reason there's a Bacon number is because 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon rhymes with 6 degrees of separation. Like, Bacon's not that cool. And
you better step off.
Wait.
Yeah.
His dad was a famous architect and designed like half the buildings on the Philly skyline. So you better check
for him.
Yeah. So you better check yourself.
My Bacon number is 3.
Check your Bacon privilege.
Because Downey narrated my Selby movie. Downey's number is 2. Bacon number is 2. Because Robert Downey and Tom Cruise appeared in Tropic Thunder. Tom Cruise and Kevin Bacon appeared in A Few Good Men. Boom. Okay,
so
booyah.
I found the Oracle
of Bacon,
appeared
in a lot more Good Men.
which is a website.
I found the Oracle of Bacon. That was like the first website. It was one of the first. It was the first website. I think it was the first website to use a database and not be a static website. Like you enter something and it went somewhere and returned results. It was like 94,
what I have,
I think,
is Michael W. Dean has a Kevin Bacon number of infinity. And the reason why they say you have a zero or an infinity is because there's no feature films that you guys are linked to. However, if I include documentaries or TV shows, then I get a two.
A two? Why not a three?
Or a three.
I had a three. I had a three.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Bacon number three. There we go. I did it wrong. I was listening to you and I didn't check it.
Well,
after
so what?
I checked it, then it was three. But it's only if you include documentaries.
Who doesn't consider documentaries real movies? People
the Oracle
are
of Bacon.
It's wrong. Documentaries are better than feature films. All right, so
they're good.
Here's the thing: is like Claire Wolf and Boston Tea Party are the real deal, and then they got watered down by like the whole thing about taxes that what's his name Larkin Rose came up with is like based on and then done wrong from Boston's book called it was like Why Fear April 15th, something about April 15th. It was his first book, but yeah, and then like, you know, he did this thing about it just got watered down. But Boston's the real deal. He's the source of the well. And Nick and I are going to interview on the Fiends.
Did you know there's this loophole called the 816 loophole? And
actually, Boston looked at
this.
Boston was at my house and looked
at
it. I showed him Larkin's site and was like, oh, he did it wrong. And I'm like, yeah, he went to jail. And he's like, yep, he did it wrong.
Dr. Denham done it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
For those of you who don't know this about the author Larkin Rose, he like Kevin Bacon before him, is also based in Philadelphia, and he will often wear what is known as the Texas tuxedo, where literally every piece of
Canadian
clothing is made of
denim.
Some sort of denim. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Canadian tuxedo, wasn't it?
You're thinking of the Saskatchewan suit.
Okay.
Steve Miller's Larkin Rose number is two because you're really good friends with a good friend of his, right?
A couple people that are really good friends.
Your wife. What's your wife's name?
I don't like to reveal that on the air in case I get doxxed in the future. I don't want people being like, oh,
Josie Wales.
Josie Wales and Steve Miller.
I don't want to say it's Josie Wales, but it's Josie Wales.
I saw them making an anarchist baby in the broom closet, and I saw one of the babies that it winked at.
God. That's from The Simpsons, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's a really obscure Simpsons reference. That's like
it's
season
a deep
two.
Cut.
Yeah. All right. When we get back, we're going to show you on the doll where L. Neil Schulman touched us wrong.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to my mailbox. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Are we on the radio?
Yes.
That's unfortunate. I don't know what radio is. Tell me, Grandpa.
Oh, yes. I've read this. I've read the link of which you sent.
All right, we're going to talk about this guy, J. Neil Schulman, who he was in the Libertarian Party when I was born, I think. I know he was in the Libertarian Party when before, like 10 years before I encountered the Libertarian Party, at least. And he's now one of those libertarians for Trump. Let's just start with that. That's what's wrong with him. You know, you might as well be a libertarian for Hillary if you're going to be a libertarian for Trump. Although, I don't know, Trump hasn't killed as many people yet as Hillary. And I'm not talking about, like, the people found with...
too.
I'm not talking about the people around the Clintons who killed themselves with two bullet holes in the back of the head, suicide. But I'm talking about, like, Syrians and, you know, dropping bombs on wedding parties and all the lovely stuff she loved to do. So I do want to say this. We're going to start... Jim's going to lead this segment and the next segment about this dude. Because, first of all, this dude thinks we're the same person. J. Neil Shulman thinks Jim Jesus and I are the same person. Jim Jesus...
I do some awesome impressions, so it's believable.
Yeah.
That I could.
No, he just, like... We were both, like, criticizing him and his horrible movie Alongside Night one night. And... it's actually fun to watch. It's so bad. He's a good writer. He's a good writer, and people do like him, or used to. He's one of those, like, Lisa, you never heard of him, right?
No, I never heard of him. Yeah. Not that I remember.
Yeah. Had you heard of Boston Tea Party?
No.
Yeah. Well,
had you heard of J. Neil Shulman by his nickname, John Beret Ramsey?
Yeah, he was a Beret. So here's what we're going to start with. Here's what we're going to start with. Correction from last night. So I was talking about J. Neil Shulman last night, and I read this article, and I actually, like, had some sympathy for him and made some tough love suggestions, which I don't think he's going to take, but that's out the window tonight. No holes barred is what we're going to do here. And Jim's going to lead this one. But I need to start this with a I was wrong. And it's a kind of funny I was wrong. Very, very talented libertarian artist, Scott Beezer. And it rhymes with geezer. That's how you remember it. He's not a geezer, but it rhymes with geezer. He wrote to me and said, I was wrong when I said that Scott Beezer is close friends with J. Neil Shulman. He's like, hey, I got a correction for you. I'm not friends with that guy. I'm not, I don't think he's saying he hates him, but he was just like, he wanted it known. He wanted it corrected and said that he's not close friends with him.
Well, it's not a hate crime, but it's definitely a friend crime. All right.
Yeah. For me to say that.
See, yeah, I can make terrible puns too, Steve.
All right, so go ahead, brother.
That was
Let's talk for about a half hour about what's wrong with Chandler. You know, this is going to be the first, like, he's going to hate this, but most people listening have never heard of him because he used to be kind of famous, but it really comes down to what have you done for me lately with anything? And
you're only as good as your last blog post.
You're only as good as your last bad movie. All right, so Jim, tell us everything about this guy and this post.
Yeah, so this guy is a libertarian science fiction writer. He created a religion in the... No, that's different, sorry.
No, different one.
Yeah, different initial first name something. Anyways, he wrote this book, Alongside Night, from what I hear is a great book. Fantastic book. The only thing that I've heard that was negative criticism about it was it's a little preachy, but it's good. Like, that was the worst thing I heard about it.
And sci-fi's preachy? What?
I know. Like, who'd have thunk it?
Well, he made a film version of it starring Kevin, or is it Kevin?
Kevin
I don't
Bacon.
Know his name.
No,
Kevin
Michael Nealon. Bacon.
Kevin Sorbo.
There we go.
Yeah,
Do you know the Bacon Brothers? Have you guys heard Kevin Bacon's band with his brother Michael Bacon? The Bacon Brothers. They're horrible. Are they good?
I don't know.
They're average. They're boring.
Their music's not that good. But the great thing about them is that their Bacon number is really, really low.
It is. Well, here, I
like
forgot
the Pork
this.
Billy Sonata. Right. That was a great song.
Church Farm School should be one of the things on the bingo board. So at Church Farm School, Michael Bacon, Kevin Bacon's brother, came and played a concert, acoustic guitar, and played his crappy songs. And afterwards, I went up to him and gave him a cassette of my songs. And he actually wrote me back, sent me an 8x10 8x12 glossy, 8x10 black and white color, or black and white glossy, you know, promo picture. And like his secretary, he dictated this letter to her. Basically, he said, like, I listened to some of your tape. You have a lot of talent, but your songs are too sad and depressing. No one will ever like you. You know, you need to change that if anyone's ever going to like your music. But then punk rock happened, and I was good. I was golden.
I guess so, you might say he dropped a bomb on you right there, huh?
Yep. All right, so I'm going to step away so Jim can actually talk in the next segment. I'll be back. Have a good time, kids. Worms. Don't forget to read some of his blog posts so people know what's going on.
I managed to get his name out, at least.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
So I'm going to tell my Neil J. Shulman story, and then I guess Angela has some awesome stories too. So, L. Neil Shulman, L. Ron Shulman, wrote this book alongside Night, which I hear, like I said, was a good book. And then he made the film version of it, which was, I wouldn't even say it's a B movie. It's somewhere along the lines of like a C minus. It's one of those things where he's trying to cram as much libertarianism in there as possible. Like every time they go into someone's room, the wall is covered with libertarian memes and all that stuff, and it's just ridiculous.
There's a lot of out of context libertarianism.
Yeah,
just walking down the street and here's a speech about the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, like, and I live in Vegas, which the film takes place in Vegas, and I have never seen any Jumbotrons just randomly placed throughout the building with Ron Paul or Konkin speaking. But apparently there is. I just haven't seen it. I guess I don't get out of the house much. So he made this movie, and it was terrible, and I made a three-part review of it, and it's almost kind of in the vein of like Nostalgia Critic, except I'm funnier, and he got really upset by it. And while I was producing it, he was getting upset that I was getting his name wrong, which, by the way, his name is L. Neil Shulman. Neil J. K. Shulman, something like that.
Fiend phone.
And because he was getting mad, I kind of, like, perpetuated that myth a little bit to make him mad, and apparently it does. And anyways, he offered to do a screening, since he figured out that I lived in Vegas, to do a screening of the film. And then at the end of it, have a debate in front of a studio audience, I guess, or a theater audience. And I didn't want to do it because you can't really debate an opinion. you know, it's not like there's an objective truth of whether or not something is good or not. I mean, there's people who don't like Casablanca, and I'm sorry, the Matrix movies were terrible. But he wanted to debate me about it. And because I was like, no, that's just ridiculous, he started saying that, well, has anybody seen this person in real life? Is there any photos of him that even exist? I have a feeling that he doesn't do it because he's a narc, and someone would finger him as a narc if he showed his face.
Oh my gosh. Like, seriously.
Yeah. And so he decided to make me, after someone was like, oh no, his picture's all over the place. Anyways, he was like, well, I'm going to make him famous by posting his reviews on my blog because he gets a lot of traffic because he's a famous libertarian. And
there's no sure path to fame.
I know, right? And after he posted it, someone went on there and was like, he's like, Ethan Glover, who's, I guess he's really big in SEO. He knows all about that stuff. And he was like, oh, well, your blog actually has more traffic than Neil J. Shulman's blog does. And I was like, that's funny because I don't even update that thing. I'm too busy doing the Lulberts and, you know, Libertarians Against Humanity and stuff like that. That, you know, and he was like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, well, your dead blog is actually more popular than his active blog. It was just been a series of failures. But he's convinced that I'm objectively wrong because his movie is the most libertarian. And because it's the most libertarian movie, it's therefore the best movie, as if there cannot be any bad libertarian content, which... apparently,
unless you go and make something better yourself, this is the thing that his standard of criticism is that it's okay to criticize the movie if you have made a feature film yourself, and that is not how criticism works.
Yeah. Well, Michael Dean said it was bad, and he's made movies, so there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Also, are you reading the letter? Are you going to read the letter?
What letter?
The money, John.
The money, John. No. You can read it, because I can't read it.
Oh, why can't you read it?
Because I don't have it up.
Oh, see? All right. Well, okay. I'll read it for the benefit of the people out there on the radio. So this is actually kind of a masterwork in the field of libertarian appeals for money. And I'll read it to you in its entirety. I recently posted on Facebook, then as a webpage, a request for voluntary compensation, parentheses, donation implies I've done nothing to merit it. Close parentheses, for the content I've given away free for many years. In request for financial support.
Sorry to interrupt, but I've given away a lot of stuff too. Like when I was in my band Bomb, let's go ahead.
We're giving away stuff for free right now.
Yeah.
Including me giving the audiobook of this blog post. My request for financial support during a life crisis when I can't pay my bills hasn't brought in a dime. So literally $0. I conclude I'm unpopular. I conclude I've been rejected. It's logical and not all that surprising. I'm pro-gun and have written major newspaper and magazine op-eds and articles, books, and made two movies supporting the right to keep and bear arms. But because I'm also not an anti-abortion / pro-police / close the borders cultural conservative, the Second Amendment activist won't support me, period. Because I've written in favor of regarding creative works as deserving property rights, I've peeved off that's not the word he uses, the most current anti-IP libertarian movement. Because most libertarians are atheists, as I was into my 30s, and then I talked about how I met God, I've generated intense hostility from libertarians and atheists. But my stating I now believe in God got me no support from any religious affiliation, since I say my change of mind came not from religion, scripture, or faith, but instead from direct experience. Because I won't endorse the Johnson Well ticket of the Libertarian Party, the LP supporters reject me. Because I've said I'm voting for Trump, despite being in favor of open borders, off-the-books workers, and Edward Snowden, the Trump supporters don't like me. And my personal favorite line of the entire thing, because of instead of rock or country music, I chose classical violin music for the soundtrack of my movie Alongside Night, I alienated a lot of potential fans.
That's the reason why it was terrible, by the way. I mean, the acting was superb. The directing was awesome. Everything just flowed fluently.
You know what? As a country fan, I will say that the movie would have had 8 salvageable minutes had they put in 4 different Luke Bryan songs randomly interspersed as the characters walk from libertarian speech to libertarian speech. But as I was saying, this is a masterwork of literature because this is the first piece, and I think you'll see many more of these, that... the theme of which is, I am so special of a snowflake that people won't even pay me for my opinions.
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's the TLDR of this, of this post. Yep. And you've seen many of its kind before. Adam Kokesh is down a ball bearing on his Freedom Mobile, so if anybody wants the hashtag, please donate to that. That's one of the latest developments, and he is a bold, brave hero, so make sure you go give him money for his ball bearing on his... Guy's got
speaking
a couple
of Kokesh, I saw he did a wonderful speech about how he's afraid of doing speeches because he's so shy.
Really?
Yeah. The irony was just too much.
Yeah. What?
What did everybody else on Facebook Live have to say about that?
Well, I was at Jackfest. We didn't have internets.
By God, when I was your age, I was at Jackfest, and we didn't have internets. We had to go tent to tent telling people how nervous we are about meeting new people.
Sorry.
All right. So yeah, the movie was objectively great, and we're just idiots for not liking it, and everybody else who hated it.
Show me your movie if you didn't like his movie, because that's the standard for being able to say anything bad about this movie. If you don't have a movie that I could watch and say on a comparative basis this is better than alongside Night, then we have nothing to say to you. you're not allowed to say anything about the movie because arbitrary rules are arbitrary, and yep, unless you've gone through exactly the same experience, you can't talk about the quality of my work. So
okay,
that's it. But this also brings me to another point on the latest episode of Surviving Scientology. Great podcast if you're a Scientology watcher. I know you are, Jim. Anyway, I'm a
former Scientology watcher. I've been so bad with that lately.
You've been lapsed.
Yeah, I've been lapsed.
You're not as suppressive person anymore.
Well, here's the thing. If it doesn't matter whether or not you're even if you've taken one course in anti-Scientology, they still count you as a member. So that's why they say there's billions of people. But I guess that's better than the Scientology church who says that they have millions of people. Because they never subtract people from the roles, either side. So, yeah.
So, on the latest episode of Surviving Scientology, they were talking about L. Ron Hubbard directing this movie, and they said that the set was always completely chaotic, and he was always screaming at everybody because mind control, and he had a bunch of books that he would keep around, and the books were like beginner filmmaker books, one of which was titled The 5 C's of Cinematography. And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that one of the 5 C's was camera, but, you know, don't quote me on that. And I thought maybe, just maybe, they had Michael W. Dean's book, $30 Film School, in the Church of Scientology office. And they were operating the, like, hey, thank you for visiting our Church of Scientology. Blah, 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 blah. I'd like to think he went from bomb to unknowingly aiding and abetting the Church of Scientology and making recruitment bids. That probably didn't happen, but I lead a rich fantasy life, and in that fantasy life, I'm an important union leader who is an artist for Bernie and also just made this profound discovery about the Church of Scientology owning a book that they probably never owned because it was published long after L. Ron Hubbard died. But whatever, fight for 15. Fight for 15 Bitcoin.
And they were saying that a lot of those L. Ron Hubbard directed films, they don't ever get shown publicly because even the church recognizes them as being obscenely bad. Like they were wearing quote unquote
Scientology
timeless
can do it, why can't Neil J. Shulman?
Yeah, they were wearing quote unquote timeless costumes unquote, and they said they just looked everybody looked ridiculous. So, but again, that's still better than Alongside Night. So.
Yeah, one of the greatest, Roger Ebert had a book out called I Hated This Movie, and it was basically all his reviews where he was excoriating the movie, and for one movie he said, you could take any 20 minutes out of Little Indian Big City and replace it with the missing reel from the one Fellini film that all the film critics have been looking at for years, and the movie would still suck.
Yeah. So
his
Angela,
review of North is great too. If you're bored, you want something to read, Roger Ebert's review of the movie North, starring Elijah Wood, is also phenomenal.
Any negative review is always the best review. If you ever read reviews of things or watch video reviews of things, it's always when they do the bad stuff. And when we come back, Angela's going to have some bad reviews of J. Neil Shulman. Neil L. Shulman. Real life
It'll
things.
It'll be much more nuanced.
The 5 C's of Shulman when we come back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
Nuanced meow.
That's it, yeah.
So show us on the doll where Gino Shulman verbally touched you.
Touched our lives? Where he touched us?
Yes, where he touched
you. Where he touched you.
Well.
Touched your life.
This is where my role as a B-list celebrity, libertarian celebrity, B-list, maybe B-plus sometimes, and revisionist historian, this is where my wisdom can really shine. J. Neil Shulman has made many missteps in his career. He had so many opportunities when he was a teenager interviewing Robert Heinlein, which I don't care about, and I don't care, have any interest in libertarian science fiction. Dear God, please let everyone know that so people will stop sending it to me. I don't care about it. I don't want to know about it. I don't have any of those kind of interests. I don't share any of those interests with you. I'm sorry.
Well, someone didn't take their red pill.
Okay. All right. But alongside Knight and the Rainbow Credenza were highly regarded, and there's a time when Neil was a serious libertarian human being. He did make a lot of mistakes. He did not align himself with the right people, which, you know, would have been maybe Institute for Humane Studies or the Cato Institute, and he had some heterodox beliefs, like he was, for example, for the Iraq War, and he also wrote a book on alternative theories for the O.J. Simpson murder case.
There we go.
Yes. Which is probably something some of you did not know, but it's important as his body of work, Neil has had so much. He and I have a lot of charming engagements. I don't know, a lot of our history together. I did a presentation on the Iraq War at Libertopia some years ago, and he, after I got the event started off, he came in a little later to add some play-by-play and color from the back, which led to an argument amongst people sitting in the rows at Libertopia, mostly libertarian A-listers. That was fine. You know, it worked. It worked. It brought us a little electricity. There was a time when Neil tried to make it up to me by begging me to have dinner with him, and it turned into a dinner with a lot of peculiar people, in other words, libertarians, and Neil's entire family, which was very lovely, but it's an entourage. You know, Neil travels with an entourage.
Did he have a magazine with him when this happened?
There's a lot of things going on here. There was his mother, his roommate, everybody was involved. And it was just very lovely. It was a very unusual evening. I wish I'd savored it a bit more, because I don't think that'll be replicated anytime soon. And at other times, when I, for example, gave a speech at another Libertopia, this was not in Iraq, this was on power structures in the war, you know, homophobia, patriarchy, domestic violence, abuse, what happens under empire and military service. And it was a very standard, you know, lefty speech to a kind of left libertarian and Ron Paul loving audience. So the emphasis on being somewhat anti-militaristic and anti-imperial. Neil always brings a fresh take. He's an innovator, and he doesn't bring a fresh take to things. And at the end, during the question and answer period, he brought up that Chelsea Manning, or how he calls it Bradley Manning, still has, quote, his twigs and berries.
Oh gosh.
This led to a lot of powerful and passionate discussion during the question and answer period. There was a little bit, it was very vital that we had this kind of discussion. There was a bit of profanity and some walkouts and some threat and share throwing. I'm not sure what happened next. I actually tried to run out of there to avoid having to face the Bleeding Heart Libertarians doing their event next in a room that had clearly broken out into a riot. So Neil and I have had a history. It's a beautiful history. There's nothing there I'm ashamed of, but I just want you to see the full picture of that. He's brought a lot to the movement, but there are a lot of obnoxious libertarians in the movement. There's a lot of people who are equally as famous or much, much more famous and much more standing who are just as obnoxious as Neil. And it's just some of it's just differences, luck, where you place yourself. If he had hooked himself to the right rich people, it'd be a very different conversation. And also, if he didn't allow himself to look the way he did. And I know that's the elephant in the room that people aren't discussing, but...
Is that a pun?
He looks like an elephant, I think.
You know, not everything is deviance and drugs. Okay? All right? There's so much more. There's just so much richness to this particular topic, and I want to be fair to Neil, so.
Some things are only deviance or drugs, not both.
If OJ did it. If OJ did the crime.
If not, here are three alternative theories.
And more elephants in the room when we come back.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow, meow, meow. We're on the radio.
Oh.
Meow, meow, meow.
Oh, no.
Look at your pizza. Look at your pizza.
I'm looking at a delicious not pizza.
This is the gluten. This is the gluten fiends. broadcasting from Pod Bay 2K, a mile above. Okay, here we go. Trigger warning. This is the Trigger Weens broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Centers, low orbit Ion ANCAP Mall, high above Financial Beast Plaza, on the artificial satellite J. Neil Hubbard, the Bear 2017. In the Alpha Centauri region. The Trigger Weens is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. The Freedom Fiends will be hosting a fiends-only fantasy football league called Fiend to See Football. The prize will be a treasure trove of Fiends merch, Fiends merchandise that was ill-gotten by union extortion. And it's free to join. And a couple of people have already said they're in. We're looking for between 8 to 12. So get at me on the Fiendtopia group or just contact me via any if you want to get in on fantasy football. In before you're being distracted to the real issues by watching football. Over to you.
Nice. Let me just say one thing, because Austin Peterson is talking about running for president again under the LP ticket. He was the executive producer of the film Alongside Night, which we were talking about in the first hour. If you don't get the first hour, you should call your radio station and ask for it. But he was the executive producer on this film, and we all know that if you can't manage a movie, you can't manage a country. So, Angela, tell me more about where J. Neil Schulman touched you on your life. Show me on the doll.
Well, we were on the air when the antiwar.com sticker was, I guess Austin and Neil thought it was a great idea to put the antiwar.com classic square logo sticker on their nuke in the movie. I don't know why they did this, but they thought I'd be very excited about it.
Don't worry, they did a background check.
I used to teach middle school English, and we would read short stories with symbolism, and then I would read stories with some sort of symbolism in them, and had one of the seventh graders turn to the story that said, there was a man, and he went to a mall, and for God knows what reason, they were selling nuclear warheads in the mall, and one of them had an antiwar.com sticker on it. I would have given the student a C-. You know why? Because I passed anybody who actually turned in work. So getting a D was unheard of. But yeah, C- for a seventh grader.
Okay. So anti-war nukes. Go on.
Yes. Yeah, that's, you know, I mean, this is, by the way, everyone in that movie, everyone in the movement has looked at that CD for a few minutes. Everyone.
What CD?
With the Alongside Night on it. I had it on a disc.
No, I've never. No. I don't know what CD you're talking about.
I had to. This. I had to track this thing down. Yeah, I could not find it anywhere.
Oh, I
had to track it down on some kind of like pirate site. Like it was like hdmovies.org/divx.com or something like that. And that's how I found it. And
yeah,
it was
this
like a really bad copy.
The libertarian file sharing site is called Ancapster.
Okay, no. This is a perk of being a permanent B-lister is that I get to see movies like alongside Night very early on, and it's a benefit and it's a perk, and I'm not ashamed of taking advantage of those kind of perks. And it was a movie.
It was a movie.
No, I just there's debatable. There's an issue here though that's kind of makes this all very melancholy. And this is both, since we've already mentioned Austin and Neil, you know, our brothers in liberty, our brothers in arms in the revolution, our comrades.
I'm not going to the revolution.
Is that there might not be the kind of market for professional activists, professional libertarian artists, as people might think. And we're going to, I predict that there's going to be a lot more situations where we have men between the ages of 55 and death couch surfing in the movement, because nonprofits jobs don't go on forever, LP jobs don't go on forever, the movement's changed so much, Ron Paul revolution happened, and also people don't really respect the constantly running for office year in, year out, unless you're just holding a space for the ballot. People don't really care for that very much. So it's a symptom also of what's going wrong in the movement right there.
Yeah. I think out of all of the libertarian media that I've heard, the only thing that I thought was really good as far as art goes, there was some girl, I can't remember her name, which is kind of I guess a ringing endorsement. And then Jordan Page, and that's about it. I know you. I can't remember her name. She's a blonde girl. Michael Dean told me to give her crap for having bad audio in one of her videos or something. But other than that, it was fairly decent. But other than that, I've never heard too many libertarian artists that were of any good. And Neil J. Shulman is kind of the epitome of this thing.
But he was good.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
He's riding on his laurels.
Yes.
Now he's riding on his laurels.
And it didn't help that he took really cracked propositions on things. Not that there's anything really wrong with that. We just don't have a culture in the movement that respects that kind of intellectual diversity. It's a pretty conformist movement within its little sects.
Within this what? I'm sorry. Anyways, I think a lot of that stuff that he was talking about ended up coming from Alex Jones. From what I understand, he's a huge fan of Alex Jones. He goes on there all the time, and he was telling me, like, well, this movie appeals to the Ron Paul people, the Alex Jones people. He's been interviewed by Alex Jones a few times, which is, I guess, fine. But, yeah.
I know a bunch of people who thought they were going to get interviewed by Alex Jones and that they were going to be set for life. I don't understand how being on somebody's show necessarily equates to like lasting fame and residual income. It's not as if that you get a royalty check for being on, you know, GCN, which we're on right now.
Well, Kevin Sorbo and Neil J. Shulman were both interviewed about Alongside Night, and now he's begging for money, so apparently he wasn't set for life. He may have thought that going in, but that's not what happened. Yeah.
Before people think I'm body shaming, if he wanted to be taken seriously as a human being, you at some point have to sell out a bit. What I mean by selling out is, if you're going to have a certain kind of personality, you need to present yourself physically in a certain way to offset it. That's just all there is to it. And people can not be happy with that or say I'm a horrible person for saying an obvious fact of life, but it's not exactly as if he's made an effort to be appealing to others.
Yeah, I guess. Speaking of which, I just got Penn Jillette's book, Presto, which is about how he lost 100 pounds in 100 days, which is probably, so far it's been a good read so far. Maybe he should, I don't know, take a cue. Where is my copy? Anyways, Yeah, so where else on the doll did he touch you? Is that it? Is that your whole experience with him?
Oh, he has so many years of experience. I just edited it down to things that would be worthwhile for the show. It's a whole history. I mean, he's been around the movement forever, and if you're in a movement insider, you roll your eyes every time Neil's name comes up. It's like a very conventional thing. Actually, I do get along with him, even though he's interrupted my speeches, and he will undoubtedly again. But whatever, it's just everyone's got a Neil story about how he interrupted somebody's speech, and it's funny and hilarious. It's just what he does. And while I am not in a position to be a charity for all the wayward men in the movement, I wish him well on his journey back to success, or at least subsistence income.
Yeah. Or maybe he should start writing again, because apparently that's what he did well. And even Michael Dean kind of commented about how well this blog post was written, even though he said it was sad. He said it was a good thing. And again, like, I've only heard good things about his books. Like, the worst thing I heard was it's a little preachy, but, you know, that's expected in libertarian media, I guess. Am I wrong about that?
It is expected, but because libertarians don't like subtlety in their libertarian-specific art. But Neil does have talents, and it's just, you know, this is the way things are when you don't make good decisions about yourself. And don't be for the Iraq War.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Of the all the wars you could argue. That was probably the most atrocious, worst ones of recent.
I am a jerk about this. I keep the permanent list in my head of all those who did that in the libertarian movement.
Yeah. I wasn't in the libertarian movement for the week that I was for the Iraq War. I was a liberal. And someone convinced me, like, oh, yeah, they really did have WMDs, and they were going to give them to terrorists and blow us up. And then, you know, I Googled it. Actually, no, that wasn't Google. I think I hotbotted it. I went to hotbot.com and hotbotted it, and I found out, okay, that's wrong. And then that concluded my entire week of support for the Iraq War. But I don't know. Some people just didn't figure out that, you know, search engines were a thing. You can search for things on the internet and find whether or not things are true or not.
A lot of people, you know, still haven't figured that out.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
See it every day.
Took a while. I was in Christian college when the Iraq War broke out, and there were a lot of Christians who thought we should go over and bomb a bunch of Muslims.
Just the hypocrites.
Like Jesus. Yep.
Yep.
We had a lot of Westboro Baptist defenders. It was weird. It was a weird time to be alive and a sumo sexual and a trans identified person, because in addition to being trans libertarian, I'm somebody who has very libertarian beliefs but a very fit liftertarian body. And in addition to that, I'm also trans humorous, and I often enjoy passing privilege, and my preferred pronouns are ha and ha ha's. And ha self.
I love that.
Yeah, honor my identity, poo lords. I will not be triggered on air. Not tonight, not ever. Not by J. Neil Shulman. Oh, man. There needs to be like an affirmation that we say. Tonight, just for tonight, I will not be triggered. People may say things I disagree with, but I will not be triggered. Yeah, someone may make a movie I don't like, and I will manage to maintain composure.
I think sumo wrestling is probably one of the worst forms of wrestling. How does that make you feel?
Uh-oh.
I got money on Korean baseball that starts at 5 a.m. after the show ends. There's a former pitcher for the Houston Astros that's over there now making $2 million a year. Hector Nwosi.
Former pitcher, now catcher.
Yeah, too bad gambling is illegal, or I definitely would have money on there. Wink, wink.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiend bought 3,000.
Fiend phone.
Bipcot no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Fiends in the house, everybody. Grab your pizzas, your soda pops, get some jalapenos for that kick. You always get a great
garlic dipping you with liberty since 2011. Papa Dean's.
Yeah.
Grand Papa Dean's.
So how is your sports book looking?
Okay, so the sportsbook hit a little bit of a snag in that the main currency in which my sportsbook operated, Bitcoin, ceased to exist.
Bitcoin, not Bitcoin, right?
Yeah, that's right. Bip, bip, bip. Bravo, India, Papa. So that really can do a number on your sportsbook when the currency you use ceases to exist. But there are rumors, people are talking about how they're, you know, I'm sending things to and from wallets, and people are talking about, oh, I, you know, I've heard tell of mines operating and what have you. If people still have it and you still want to bet on line one, I'll give you any side of whatever Vegas John you want, up to 5 Bitcoin, because I got 15 Bitcoin that's owed to me by Michael W. Dean. And I'm willing to take any three of you for any line one, for any week one Vegas lines. And the lines I'll be using are from the Las Vegas Hilton, the LVH line, as it's known in the insider, John.
You know, it's not the Hilton anymore. Now it's the Westgate.
The Westgate,
Hilton technically didn't own it. They were just selling the name rights to it.
That was Bob Scucci is the bookmaker there. One of the smartest, sharpest bookmakers on there. If you the Behind the Bets podcast from ESPN is one of the first like lamestream media pieces to recognize betting as a legitimate thing. And the only reason it's not considered a legitimate thing with predictive, where you predict something and then it makes you money, is because governments, because it is morally harmful to you if you make $50 off of a football game. And shield, without government, who would stop you from making a Philadelphia 76ers game interesting?
Yeah.
By the way, there are few greater pleasures in this world than getting yourself a $3.75 ticket to a Philadelphia 76ers game, going to the Sixers game, betting the under, which is at the point total, and it's the combined total of both teams' points, and you bet either the overside or the underside. And normally there's a lot of money on the over because people think there's going to be a lot of points scored in a basketball game. So in order to side with the casinos, I'll bet the under, and then I'll show up at the game and I'll root for nothing to happen. I'll be like, all right, let's get out there. Let's slow it down. Whatever we do, let's not make baskets.
So what is the over-under for Janiel Shulman making rent by the end of the month? What's the over-under on that in bits?
Like how many bits I thought you were going to say in dollars short. I don't have lines on that. See, yeah, I have a libertarian. Yeah. I still have the note on my phone of my lines. I don't have a lineup on that yet. You're gonna have to talk to Bob Scucci. Go down to the Westgate and be like, hey, I've got a question about the line on the. Well, actually, here's how you get to him. You go to the Westgate and you say you want him to sign a copy of his book, and he'll probably come out to sign a copy of your book and say, hey, I got a question for you. So I need you to read this blog post and tell me how many days will it be until he's evicted? Set a line. And he'll probably give you, and he'll probably get, old Scooch will probably give you something in the like high single, low double digits. But I guess it, I would probably put the line at about 11 for days until eviction. So,
and he could actually drive out to Pahrump. Was
smart where, money on the over, by the way. In a lot of jurisdictions, it takes a while to evict somebody.
Yeah. Well, he lives in Pahrump, so who knows? Pahrump, Nevada. That's where J. Neil Shulman lives. So, you know, he could probably go out there and visit and see, like, okay, you know, he hasn't mowed the yard in a couple weeks. You know, there looks like someone put some spray paint on his garage door saying, get out, fatty. But, you know, there's a good chance he could probably pull through. You know, if he tweets it enough times, I'm sure someone will probably donate him a Bitcoin. Oh, he doesn't take Bitcoin. Yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
That's the kiss of death right there. Step up your libertarian game. Even the sham charity that Tony Styles founded takes Bitcoin, for heaven's sakes.
By the way, did they ever publish their financials yet? It's been over a month now.
They have not published their finances yet. Be shocked to learn. And Alicia Dern, national campaign chair for Gary Johnson, who's on the board of the fake charity called the Arrows Foundation, now refuses to talk about the fake charity at all.
You know, can't Shulman go and write on Steam it and make like 15 grand in a day or two?
See?
Has anyone told him this?
This is why he's unpopular.
Guys, have you heard about Steam It?
Yeah. Tell me more. I heard you make a lot of money.
Steam It is the Keynesianism of platforms, of crypto, for sure.
Yes, indeed.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
The Pepe the Frog cartoon has become an especially popular symbol for the Trump.
Why?
I don't know. But NBC has just figured out the Pepe meme. They have their fingers right.
They cracked the code.
They figured it out. What do you mean? What'd they do?
They got their fingers on the pulse. You know, they are the media. They know they can investigate everything. And today, in 2016, in our current year, they figured out what Pepe was. So, I want to give them a good clap. Good for
you.
I'm very proud of you. You've done well. I mean,
did they actually post an article about this?
Five things you didn't know about the alt-right. It's in the editorial section of the NBC News.
I'll probably skip that one. I know more than I ever needed to about the alt-right.
Tell me about the alt-right.
Click here and forget five facts about the alt-right.
Triggered my gag reflex.
Four will blow your mind.
What? Okay, I'm gonna go find this now. See what you've done. Wait, what is this called again? Five things you need to know. I'm Googling.
Five things you need to know about the alt-right. It's on MSNBC News. Or no, just NBC News.
All right, I'm finding this.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Really?
You can Google harder.
Listicles on the air, folks.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
If you don't get
it, I knew we would get furried.
This
as soon as...
is the fiend phone. Unnecessary random. Yay, furries. I like the lady laugh track. The guys are furries. Threatened by me. The guys are always like, ugh, this guy again. And the girls on the show, the gals on the show, are always like, oh, it's Michael. Except Angela.
If you've ever
who's
seen
like,
Yiffing, you know why I am frightened.
Yeah, Angela's excited to see me, but she's she's fallen down a K-hole in Kensington.
So Grandpappy always said, never trust a man with fewer lungs than cats.
Fun, unnecessary, random re-education, interruption, exigency service, or furries is what this is. Did you guys know that J. Neil Schulman... Okay, first of all...
Neil J. Schulman. Get it right,
J.
sir.
Neil Schulman. It's J. Neil Schulman.
Neil M. Night Schulman.
It's J. Neil Schulman.
Not to be confused with L. Neil Smith.
Are you reading the Wikipedia, Angela? Are you reading the Wikipedia?
Is that where...
It literally says that. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page, and I thought, God, I'm such an idiot. I keep calling him L. Neil Smith. I must be the only idiot who makes that. The first thing on J. Neil Schulman's Wikipedia page, and I did not put this, is J. Neil Schulman should not be confused with L. Neil Smith.
I thought everyone in the movement knew that.
Did you guys know that he wrote an episode of The Twilight Zone?
Yes, I did know that.
But not the original good one. He would have been 5 or 2 or not born. But that when they, in 86, when they came back and tried to do it, and he wrote one about a Harvard professor who goes back in time and prevents Kennedy from being killed. How square is that, man? God. Ugh.
86 is what he should have done to Alongside Night.
Yeah. Yeah. So we were talking about how square the Libertarian Party is at the beginning of the show. I want to play a sound, an audio clip. I was looking at the, you know, I've never really looked at, I've seen the footage of our friend and sometimes guest on this show, James Weeks III, the guy who really, you know, the only like pulse the Libertarian Party has had in about 40 out of its 45 years or whatever is he took off most of his clothes, and he's a large man, and he just flaunted it on the stage at Libertarian Party, you know, the convention this year, and it was on C-SPAN. I've seen that clip, but did any of you guys hear the like reactions afterwards by the people in the audience? Like they had open mic of come up here and tell us what's wrong with James Weeks. Did you hear this stuff?
No.
I hate themed open mics. Just let me rock the mic and talk about whatever I want.
Well, you know, how many Libertarian Party members does it take to screw in a light bulb, Steve? None. And that's not funny. None of these people are funny, man. They're so not funny.
So it's like a regular open mic.
Yeah. Well, it's like a regular open mic in that there's one guy who's really, really, really funny, and everyone else doesn't like him. That's how it's like an open mic.
And a lot of mentally ill people show up, too.
Yeah.
Hey, so, guys, you guys watch porn? Have you heard about Viagra? Oh, man.
So I got to play this clip. It's there were like 4 or 5 people in a row, like at least 3 of them prefaced their statement of condemning James Weeks with, I've put a lot of money into the Libertarian Party. And this guy, and one of them said, I've put a lot of money into this party, and I've also read about 100 books on the subject. And that guy was, that was a joke. That wasn't good, basically. But
oh, gosh.
Here's the guy after him who's even less funny. So I don't know this guy's name, but here we go.
I want to put Dan.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to speak on a point of personal privilege. I have been a party member since 1993. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars. I have made a large investment of many hours. Point of personal privilege, please. I find that was so offensive. It was a violation of the non-aggression pledge.
Yes. The non-aggression pledge. He didn't even get it right. Man, and people are applauding him. They're hooting and hollering. Here's another one. Let's see this guy. What is a point of personal privilege? You know, Angela, you've been to Robert's Rules of Orders, BDSM
check your
meetings.
Personal privilege.
I was on the Libertarian National Committee.
What's a point of personal privilege? Like, I have more stake in this than everyone else, so you should listen to me?
No, it's where jerks decide they're going to talk about themselves instead of the matter at hand.
Really?
It's very popular in the Libertarian National Committee.
Man.
I propose a resolution that deals directly with this, if I may.
it would require a. Two-thirds.
It is a single sentence.
It would require suspension of the rules to entertain a resolution.
I'd like to read that, please. Thank you.
I gotta say, if your revolution doesn't allow naked dancing and sex with tranny hookers and shooting crocodile and or involves Robert's Rules of Order, count me out.
Will the body will entertain a motion to suspend the rule.
A naked body.
Point of order from
whom? Point of order.
The gentleman, sir. Yes, sir.
Odor.
Please, you recognize this gentleman for point of order.
Yes.
And then erroneously went to another microphone. Please allow him to make his
the
point.
The lollipop
order.
Kids weigh in.
Yeah. Oh, these guys are like.
There was a point of order.
Sorry, he left.
These guys make Selby look young. Oh man.
Some of these people are lovely donors, and they don't like war.
Mr. Chairman, point of order. Yes, sir. Is this a point of order?
I'm not sure what you call it.
I want to hear his one sentence suggestion. It's taking like 8 pages of discussion to get to the one sentence.
Suspend the rules. Good.
I mean, it's probably going to be like no naked fat guys in our meetings anymore, but I want to hear it.
Purpose of revoking the membership.
Ah.
I don't think that would be in order, sir. The chair will rule that that's out of order.
Point of order.
Have people expressing individuality at the Libertarian Party.
Wow.
That could not happen. By the way, I have gone to Libertarian Party meetings since this whole thing happened, and they spend so much time talking about it. I'm like, guys, you know, you guys spend more time talking about it than anybody else. It's a Libertarian Party tragedy, but it's only contained inside the Libertarian Party. Like, the only people who care about this, they swear that everybody's going to be offended by this.
And I'm Jim's like, Libertarian meetings. At Jim's Libertarian meetings in Las Vegas, you have a pint of order.
Yeah.
Resolution.
No, we're not a Libertarian Party thing.
No, but it's your part. Libertarian, small L, Libertarian Party, capital P. Yeah. Like, you're partying Libertarians, and you have pints of order. Yeah,
now,
I used
to
involve...
The actual Libertarian Party, when they do their little pub nights, they don't even have craft beer.
Yeah.
They don't even have pizza. We have
crap beer.
Craft.
Aren't they sponsored by Adolf Coors?
And you can't pay in Bitcoin or Bipcoin yet.
Wow, that's so square. Or Monero. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So two world wars with various, you know, holocausts and these genocides and atomic bombs. But James Weeks is the greatest threat to liberty known to man.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're caught up. Yep.
He's running for sheriff too. I think he should be the eternal vice president on the ticket with who's the guy with the boot on his head? You know,
Vermin.
Vermin Supreme.
Yeah, Vermin.
Yeah, I would. I might actually go vote. I don't vote. I mean, I wouldn't. But I would like to think I might want to go vote if those two were running for president. No, I still wouldn't vote. But I'd laugh. I'd watch the video if people voted.
I'd vote for it.
You're a vote cock.
I would vote it.
I would sit there and watch other men vote. Oh, yeah. Watch them penetrate the ballot.
Don't the Koch brothers own Coors Beer?
The Koch brothers.
No, family.
Yeah. So, Angela, are you still subjected to meetings that have Robert's Rules of Order, or is that in your past?
No, I can afford to do what I want now. I have a free and easy, exciting life that does not involve that past. A lot of us have things in our past, Michael. I don't really need to shame me that way.
You're independently wealthy from your night job of dealing lewds at gay bars in West Hollywood. You found your cash from 1974.
Okay, the kids do poppers here again. So you're right. There's some things that have made a comeback.
What's old is
new? She's going to start her own Libertarian Party with naked fat guys and blackjack.
Shaking what his daddy gave him.
Yeah.
In fact, forget the party.
See, this is the problem. You make poppers legal. Next thing you know, James Weeks has taken his clothes off at the convention.
The Libertarian Party, and it reminds me of what my dad said about why he quit the Freemasons and joined Rotary. He said that the Freemasons, he said, it took so long to open and close a meeting, there wasn't time for anything else in the hour. That sounds like a Libertarian Party meeting to me. Kind of.
Point of order.
Point of order. Yes.
Point of order.
the guy in the chair recognizes the guy from the man from the great state of Kensington. Go ahead.
The chair will rule that that's out of order.
The man in Kensington.
Point of order. It seems like the point only weapon order. Everyone in this point audience has.
Point of order.
Robert's Rules of Order is like a 50-page book of tiny type, and there's one phrase that like everyone's allowed to use and can remember, and it's point of order.
I'm sorry. The gentleman here, microphone one. The gentleman will identify himself.
My name is Aaron Starr.
We'll be back.
Yes, sir.
From California. I have a one.
The chair will request order, please. Again, noise from the background. It's very loud. Please.
Triggered.
Quiet down. Thank you.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of driving your kids to G.G. Allen's grave only to be unable to find the grave because some dick stole the headstone? Well, there is a solution. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for Android will give you door-to-grave directions. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app uses advanced GPS protocols to guide you with voices to the exact patch of dust and grass where G.G. took his final dirt nap. Bring the kids. Do some needle drops at the G.G.est place on Earth. G.G. always had a huge underground following, but it's even bigger now that he's literally underground. So it's no surprise that lots of folks today take a pilgrimage to G.G.'s grave. But getting there wasn't easy. Until this app. Forget Graceland, forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those are plastic places for old people with jobs. Hell, even CBGB's is gone, and that former hallowed ground is now a yuppie coffee bar. The real rock and roll Mecca is an unmarked patch of grass in Littleton, New Hampshire, and our free app will show you how to get there. Get the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app today. Even if you're not planning to go there soon, the app is fun. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License, and it's from the good people at Beast Lick Internet Policy Commission Outreach Team, who also brought you Fiend Phone, the Freedom Fiends radio app, BIPCOT, MeowBit, and of course, Truth, Justice, American Way. The Find G.G. Allen's Grave app is free. Get it today on the Google Play Store or on Amazon. Your family will thank you. And don't forget to rate and review. Worms, eating G.G. Allen's face.
Point of privilege is to say things on the air.
Point of privilege. I'm buffering.
I have an announcement that's pretty cool that I didn't do anything, and this person really didn't do anything other than not die. Yesterday was my dad's 95th birthday. How cool and weird is that?
Wow, like, that is really cool.
I don't know anybody who's 95. I've never met anybody who's 95, but now my dad's 95. So we're talking about Robert's Rules of Order. I actually, Angela and I, who else besides Angela and I have lived under the iron fist of Robert's Rules of Order before? Anybody?
Point of order, I have.
No.
Yeah, what, Steve? is that how they have your comedy meetings in Kensington?
I got dragged to an awful comedy meeting one time where it was a consortium of all the open mics in Philly. And they didn't run it on Robert's Rules of Order, but the dude introduced the board of directors of his comedy corporation that ran open mics, literally giving away everything for free.
I think you should write, point of order, Steve, I think you need to write a skit called Robert's Rules of Order Open Mic. Open Mic Comedy.
Table it.
Well, I move that this motion be amended by talking about the fact that Angela Keaton, our co-host tonight, was also almost kicked out of the Libertarian Party. What year was this?
Try as she might.
That was 2008.
Resolution of discipline. I'm going to put this in the show notes. Whereas Angela Keaton has engaged in conduct injurious to the Libertarian Party and its purposes, now, therefore, be it resolved that Angela Keaton's membership in the Libertarian National Committee is suspended pursuant to Article 8, Section 5 of the bylaws of the Libertarian Party, and further be it resolved that the aforementioned suspension is hereby rescinded. Huh? Wait. Yes, no, two yo's don't make make a yo, contingent upon a determination of the secretary that Angela Keaton has submitted within 7 days of the adoption of this resolution a letter for publication in the Libertarian Party News, including and limited to an apology for being in breach of a board member's fiduciary duty to loyalty of the loyalty to the Libertarian Party.
Pledge. Yeah.
Publicly declaring her disinterest in the party. I like that.
What?
Mm-hmm. She's still doing that tonight. That's the whole point of this episode. Proving
that's the
material.
Point of order.
Oh, this sounds like they're calling you a terrorist. Providing material support to another political party.
Just because she was dancing around in a thong?
And seeking to undermine the success of an attempt.
I thought she would have a point of female privilege on that one.
Wait, I saw Goody Keaton dancing by the fire with the Constitution Party.
How did you provide aid and comfort?
I saw MK Lord's dance with fire.
How did you provide, me too, how did you provide aid and comfort to an enemy party?
Oddly enough, I think it does involve a thong, but not that they would know about. Yeah, it's still, you know, listening to this, I can't believe any of these people got away with it, but I let them get away with it by not suing, because I don't sue unless it'd be a very unusual circumstance under which I would sue.
You know,
I chose not to sue.
MK Lords left San Diego and went back to Florida and hit the first hurricane there in 10 years. She said that was ironic timing, but, you know, she actually missed at her old job. They had some senator come in and shake everyone's hand and buy a Bitcoin. I really would. I'm glad that she was in a hurricane instead of that. She's okay. But point of order, I think I'd rather be in a hurricane than have to smile and shake hands with a senator while he decides whether or not to outlaw Bitcoin.
Or Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. I call for a division of the House. I like that one.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
It stood out to me.
Division of the House sounds like an 80s band.
It does. I object to the consideration of this question. That's really snippy. That's like, I won't even consider it.
And you don't even need a second for that one. It's just, I object to the consideration of this question.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And it's not debatable.
That's
not amenable.
That's the equivalent of, I can't even believe I'm having this conversation. That's a cogent argument.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been a great show.
What a privilege. I am triggered.
I move that we now consider tabling our actions until the next episode.
Hey, second.
All right. All it needs is a second. Smoke weed.
All in favor?
I move that we suspend the rules and consider mandatory nudity at all our meetings of the Freedom Fiends.
I second the motion.
Yep.
Question. I rise to a question. Am I being detained?
I appeal to the chair's decision and say you're only for a few more seconds, Steve. You'll almost be free to go. I move the previous question of, if your revolution doesn't have fat guys dancing, I don't want to be part of it. All in favor? Yay.
Yeah.